Oh, what's up, everybody? Happy Memorial Day. We're very happy to bring you another episode of the Verbal Shenanigans podcast, and thank you to all those who served and currently serve and make this podcast, make us able to do this podcast. And we're also happy about the sponsors that make this podcast possible. One of the sponsors before we get to our episode is Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. Trivia Revolution is a trivia company. We do it all over the state of New Jersey. I host on Wednesday nights at Tap House 15. Look them up on Facebook and Instagram for their bonus item, and you could be a winner even if you're in last place, like Alex or Berlu or some of the dum-dums that join me on this podcast.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. She's back, by the way.
Hi, guys.
Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook. I'm lucky enough to have my beautiful girlfriend back to give us some ads on the podcast. So one of the sponsors on the podcast is Demented Brewing, one of our favorites. Go ahead, girl.
Yes, indeed. They just released their Vulcan, which is their Mango Habanero IPA.
Habanero.
And next Sunday, they'll be releasing item number 9, their all-new Pineapple Session Ale.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. And then they're canning Astarte and Gallows Hill again on June 9th, both of which will be going
Alex,
to stores.
You love cans of Astarte, don't you?
I do.
How many cans did you drink out of our 4-pack?
Three. All of them.
No, three.
Sorry,
three out of
fine.
Four.
You had one.
Yeah.
You had one.
I had
but
one.
I think I had half of that one.
So 3.5 out of 4. Thank you for that.
So delicious.
So if you want to go check out Demented, there's a family of goose and baby geese.
Aww.
That is really cute outside. Anyway, follow Demented Brewing on Facebook and Instagram. Give them some love and tell them Verbal Shenanigans sent you. Another one of our sponsors is Susan Robb out of Toronto. She's a woman from Toronto, Canada, who lives out her mission to inspire others. Susan is a client partner for the Center for Leadership Studies, original home of situational leadership. CLS is deployed in over 70% of top Fortune 500 companies around the globe. If you want to learn more about how to build your leadership capacity, contact her at susanrom.situational.com. And stay tuned for next week's episode to hear about Kim Ward and Paul Templer's trek through the Himalayas, how it went with Gary Goller, the first man in history to reach the summit with one arm. So Susan is another one of our great sponsors. Please check her out if you need a speaker or someone really cool for your business to have someone come out and speak to. Check her out. Another sponsor is one of my favorites, the Adirondack Brewery.
That's right. So they have their second annual cornhole tournament on Saturday, June 3rd.
You said cornhole.
With word boards and New York cornhole. You know, that reminds me, I kicked your butt at cornhole.
No, like I did in mini golf yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we won't mention that. Mm-hmm. Anyways, registration is $40 per two-person team and includes your first beer. Teams can be registered at www.newyorkcornhole.com.
New York Cornhole.
And the last thing is first place wins a cash prize. The second and third place prizes as well.
All right. And finally, the last sponsor that brings this podcast to you is Men's Skirt Brewing, located in Hackettstown, New Jersey. They have a bottle release, which is about 2 weeks away. They just released H-Town Hells, their My Back, and the common denominator, their California Common. And they have an event in Jersey City on June 3rd at the Jersey City Beer Fest. Men's Skirt Brewing is a really cool place to visit. And you should check them out right in Hackettstown, New Jersey. Do the whole
Do
beer
it.
Tour there. Do it. Go visit Joe in his manskirt and tell him VS Comedy, Verbal Shenanigans, sent ya. All right. This week we got a very special episode. We go over the pond to Finland, to talk to one of my favorite bands to play, like just if you're having a party or whatnot. But Steven Seagulls, who is like a jug band, a country bluegrass band. Steven Seagulls are on the podcast today. We had a fun time. Without further ado, enjoy the podcast.
Bye.
Hey, this is Steven Seagulls, and you're listening to Verbal Shenanigans.
which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Mike Berlow, welcome to the Verbal Shenanigans podcast in the morning.
Scott Brennan, thank you for welcoming me.
It is the morning. It is.
Yep. It is what the
10:30.
Natives call the morning. Yes.
I think the only time we have ever recorded like in the morning is like some of the festivals we went down to.
Festivals,
like Pocono, maybe.
I think Sharon Alexander was in the morning
really?
On that Saturday. It was late morning, but yeah. Something like that.
It's a different vibe. It's a different vibe. I don't have the urge to crack a beer yet.
No. We're just doing our coffees right now.
It's just coffee. Obi just hit his bone masterfully.
Mm. Mm-hmm. He's a genius that way.
Those of you who listen, you know that the dog shows up in pretty much every episode. And when Berlow walks through the door, he kind of loses his mind, and he starts to take out toys, and he just found
me
a bone.
The dog.
Yep. You've lost your mind a long time ago, buddy. And he just took the bone and jammed it underneath. Took my sweatshirt and jammed the sweatshirt over it. And then, like, the top of it's hanging out the side of the sweatshirt. Like, it's good job, buddy.
It's one of those that's kind of genius for dogs, but you still don't want to really brag about it to people.
So we had a... so anyway, welcome back to the show. I don't even know what episode this is, so I'm not even going to try to...
1-5-something.
Yeah. 1-50-something, depending on how these get released and whatnot. But we've had a big week. We went from... Basically, you're going to have 2 weeks off, and now you've been here. What was that?
This
Thursday,
is second Wednesday? Of a three yep. appearance.
Three in the week. Today's Memorial Day. We're recording on Memorial Day. It's lovely weather.
Yeah,
rainy.
Old Jersey.
I'm having a barbecue. This is wonderful with kids and puppies. And this is going to be lovely. We're all going to be crammed into like one couch, sitting there staring at each other.
It sounds like you're taking over Ringling Brothers. You know, kids and
we got puppies.
Games and puppies. Woo!
Where do you see the magic tricks my brother can do? But we had a kind of cool news when I guess yesterday Takuma Sato.
Yeah,
he's I think you texted me that he won the Indy 500.
Yeah, he did. He his first one. I found out actually like 4 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. He came close, but he crashed into a wall on the last lap, so he ended up like 13th, which was his best finish ever. But
13th was his best like finish in any race,
Indy 500. He won one race. He actually made a wine to commemorate his first win. But
well, that's always good. A year later, he drank it on the same course before driving. It was amazing. It was...
Well, I don't know what I'm doing. I'll do great. But, it was a good race. He took the lead about 7 laps ago. He was getting challenged by Helio Castroneves, who's been in Indy for quite a while. I think he's won like 4 Indy 500s, but he held him off.
Yeah, I mean, even if you don't know Indy, like that's one of the names you just hear, Helio Castroneves, Dancing with the Stars thing.
Yeah, he also was known for being Spider-Man, where he won the Indy 500. He started climbing the gates up there.
There he is. Keep going.
But it was a hell of a race. It was some dangerous accidents there. I'm not sure if you saw the one where the guy flipped up in the air and he landed on the wall.
That sport is ridiculously dangerous.
It's crazy. Well, the funny thing, he walked out fine. There was a photographer behind the gate where he hit the wall, where they had to take him out to and. I'm not sure they took him to an ambulance or the in-care center, but he seemed to be all right.
I mean, think about where we were standing. Even where we were standing, I was like, oh, my God, these things are insanely fast. If one of these takes off, like, we're dead, you know? Like,
and they're light, so they can get airborne. What basically happened was a guy, he lost steering, so he crashed into the wall, but he couldn't hold it back to the wall so people can go by, so he came down the last minute. And the guy, Scott Dixon, basically hit his tire and immediately propelled him up in the air. And he landed on the side, literally on the wall, the safer barrier.
It's ridiculous. But, it was about a year ago, I guess. More than a year ago.
2005, we interviewed him.
2005?
Yeah. 2015, that's right. The vintage years.
I'm like, really? 2005?
I didn't know you since 2005. You know it's bad when you just lost a decade. You just forgot about a decade of your life.
What? They made a new Coke?
But yeah, your whole toy box is right there, bro. Find a toy. But yeah, we went to Pocono Raceway and interviewed a couple drivers. We were supposed to interview Helio. Remember, there was a chance of us interviewing him, but we interviewed three different drivers. I'm going to kill you.
He's updating.
Huh?
He's like, Daddy, no, that's not how it works. Yeah.
Can you turn and just dump his box out or something? Or figure out what the hell you want. But yeah, we interviewed three drivers. Hippoman, Takuma Sato, and Sage Karam. And I remember liking Sato. I remember after that saying, that's the guy I'm going to root for. I mean, it lasted about a week, and I paid attention to it.
Well, I remember how they were telling us, okay, keep it clean. You know, we're going to advertise this, blah, blah, blah. And he, like, right up. It was in the speed round where he just said, I think I asked him the question, what's the funniest thing you heard over the radio? No, move your goddamn ass or something like that.
Or remember when you told Sage Karam he was a good boy?
I didn't say. I asked him the question, are you a good boy? I always loved that moment. He took it seriously. He was like thinking for a moment.
I think I'm a good boy. I don't even know how that was in.
Well, we were about to get him. He came in with his dog. I did my usual Burlew thing where I walked over and started scratching the dog. Didn't care about the indie driver.
He was giving us his time.
So we came into the room where we were podcasting, and you jokingly set it up by saying that. And I'm like, Scott, I'm not obsessed with dogs. Sage, first question, are you a good boy?
Classic Burlew moment there.
Classic Burlew.
So that's pretty cool. So now we have in our credits, I guess you can call it, we have a Indy 500 and a Daytona 500.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Not bad. Remember when we interviewed Trevor Bayne and like we were getting out of the water park and they're like, "You guys have like five minutes."
Like, no! My hands, they're so pruny. I can't pick up this stuff, Scott.
Or when the guy was like giving us the cut symbol and you're like,
well, I didn't see them.
You're like, well, tell us about your upbringing.
I have this one short 14-part question.
Let's play a game. It's 10 rounds. In each round, there are 10 questions. So that's pretty cool. Pretty cool to add to the site.
Yeah.
So we have a good show today.
For once.
Well, let's do something first, and then we'll get to our talk about it, guys. I figured it's been a while, so we might as well do a little bit of
bad news.
Ooh.
We're talking about bad and shit. We're talking about bad and shit. It's freaking bad news. Bears in the world doing all sorts of things. Yeah, girl.
You know what that means? It's we do a little segment on the show here called Bear News. Ooh. Yes, that's Bear News, B-E-A-R. Okay, and it's just a story, news stories about bears and different things that have gone on around the world. Now, I had this planned for last week, but we didn't get to it. Just this morning, in Boise County, okay, I'm guessing that's Idaho. The Boise County Sheriff's Office was investigating after at least one person was mauled by a bear.
At least one?
At this time, the extent of the injury is unknown. So that was just this morning that popped up. But let's get into good stories. All right, Burlew. We're going to go to Kentucky.
Why?
I don't know why anybody would do that either. Mm-hmm. Somerset, Kentucky.
All right.
Some late-night shoppers in Pulaski County got quite the surprise when a bear showed up. A bear was spotted in Walmart.
I think that's pretty natural in Kentucky.
Yeah, I feel like that's natural in Walmart.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
get out of the discount Rice Krispies.
Police in Kentucky, fish and wildlife officials came to lure the bear into the woods. Until they arrived, one Lexington 18 viewer says he and several others tried to safely keep from the bear away from unsuspecting shoppers. We've seen it running down the sidewalk in front of the outdoor living center of Walmart, and me and the other six cars tried to block, keep the bear from going towards the customer entrance.
I like how they had the play-by-play of each area it went into. And at first, it went into leisure. I mean, we kind of expected that for a bear. But when he went into entertainment, we're like, whoa.
The women's underwear section was torn to bits. There were cups everywhere. According to several viewers, officials were able to chase the bear behind the Walmart and believe he eventually returned to the woods. I hope he returns on, like, Black Friday when there's, like, people pushing and shoving and just blast through, like, a couple idiots.
Sad news, a bear got trampled today.
Yeah, that would not stop anybody. No. There's a bear in the way, but I could save $42 on a flat screen.
You know there's some woman with the purse just smacking that bear. That's my Xbox!
You just see, like, the footage from, like, the surveillance cameras, her pulling an Xbox out of a bear's mouth and winning. I'd put Black Friday, like, dirtbag shoppers over a bear strengthening.
Any day.
So a black bear spouted in a Walmart. I thought it was pretty fun. Okay, that's the one about...
Another bear went into Circuit City, but nobody noticed.
They welcomed him.
Oh, my God, a customer. I can't believe we're still around.
What's the protocol again? What's the Wait. Say hello to customer. B, say, can I help you?
Can I interest you in a tape recorder?
All right. Let's go to, this one's cool. I think it's in Virginia. A bear locks himself in a car, honks the horn, awakening owners. A 200-pound black bear has opened the door to a vehicle, locked himself in, and then honked the horn trying to get out, rousting the car owners from their bed. Rousting? Rousting?
Mm.
I don't know.
I never know that one. Rousted before.
Rousting the car owners from their beds early Thursday. No, but that's what it says. R-O-U-S-T-I-N-G.
I understand that. I just don't believe I've ever been rousted before.
I don't know what rousting means.
Google,
what does rousting mean? So in Roanoke County, Virginia, police responded to a 5 a.m. call from homeowners awakened by a bear laying on the horn of their vehicle. The baby bear found some treats inside and caused a minor damage to the vehicle. The official was able to open the back door, and the little guy eventually found his way out and ran off into the woods. Officer Day responded to the call at 5 o'clock. And 200, now, that's a baby. That's still a 200-pound bear in there.
So... And it's not old enough to drive, so that's very...
Officer Thayer said, always lock your car doors. It's not just thieves that break into your cars.
It'd be great if they had, like, a key fob or something like that that the bear used to get in there. Yeah. Roust is to cause to get out of bed, apparently.
Oh, like it literally means to get out of bed. All right.
I didn't know we needed a specific verb just for that action.
There's a picture of the bear in the car if you swing your head around. Yeah, it's right. Hard to see. It's hard to see in general, but he's sitting in the passenger seat.
It's cute.
Well, that's like the other day at work. Someone had gotten out of the car with their dog, and then they locked their dog in the car with the keys running in it, and they had to be driven home to go get their keys to come get the dog out of the car. But a little different with a bear.
Yeah,
I wouldn't mind a bear in my car.
That'd be cute.
My car's got so much garbage and stuff in it as it is right now. Anyway,
I wouldn't be surprised if you had one in there already.
I was wondering if, like, maybe I could write it off as insurance. Like, yeah, he did all that damage before, and those coffee stains are definitely from the bear.
Yeah, yeah. He can't keep down his Dunkin' Donuts, man.
All right, next story.
All right,
the unbelievably true story of a hiker who survived back-to-back grizzly bear attacks. This past October, I took an early morning hike in Madison Valley in southwest Montana. Knowing that bears are common throughout the area and not wanting to surprise one, I hollered, "Hey, bear," every 30 seconds.
Is that the best way to not get
apparently,
a bear's attention?
Maybe that's like luring them in. Hmm. They're just like, "What? What do you want? Hey, bear." About 3 miles in, I stepped out into a meadow and hollered again. A few more steps, I spotted a grizzly bear with her cubs on the trail at the upper end of the meadow. This is where I just crap my pants. So once cubs are involved, too, like...
Oh, yeah. When you see the loved ones, you're dead.
Yeah. The sow saw me right away, and they ran up the trail, but then stopped, turned, and charged straight for me. I yelled so she would know I was a human and hopefully turn back. No such luck. I gave her a full charge of bear spray at about 25 feet. Her momentum carried her right through the orange mist and onto me. Now, doesn't this sound like this guy's almost asking for a bear attack?
Yeah.
He's going out during bear season he's with his bear spray. Bear. Like, he's prepared for bears. Like, he almost, yeah. I don't know. It feels a little contrived.
Something shifty's going on, Scott. Yes. Verbal shenanigans should investigate.
No. I dived face first into the dirt and wrapped my arms around the back of my neck for protection. Like, it's almost like he knew, like, he wanted, like, to test bear protocol or something.
Yeah,
like
that. He had a procedure going into it.
She was on top of me, biting my arms, shoulders, and backpack. The force of each bite was like a sledgehammer with teeth. Over and over, she bit me. After what felt like hours but was merely minutes, she disappeared. Stunned, I carefully picked myself up. I was able to walk, so I half-hiked and half-jogged back down the trail toward my truck 3 miles below. I had numerous bleeding puncture wounds on my arm and shoulder, but I knew I would survive and thank God for getting me through this. Good old God, he's always there. Mm. At about 5 or 10 minutes down the trail, I heard the sound and turned. It was the grizz bearing down at 30 feet. I was lucky after the first attack, but would I survive the second? Again, I protected the back of my neck and my arms and kept it tight against the ground and protected my face and eyes. She slammed down on top of me and bit my shoulders and arms.
I mean, this is starting to sound like somebody writing to, like, Penthouse
I know.
Magazine. Dear Penthouse, I never thought it would happen to me.
Soon the bear took its pants off and looked at me.
Each bite was even stronger than the last one, and I loved it.
One bite on my forearm went through to the bone, and I heard a crunch. My hand instantly went numb, and the wrist and fingers were limp and unusable. The sudden pain made me flinch and gasp for breath. The sound triggered a frenzy of bites to my shoulder and upper back. I knew I couldn't move or make a sound again, so I huddled motionless. Another couple bites to my head caused a gash to open above my ear, nearly scalping me. The blood gushed over my face into my eyes. I didn't move. I thought this was the end. She would eventually hit an artery in my neck, and I would bleed out in the trail. Suddenly, she stopped.
Kissed me,
and it was on.
You like it that way.
There was dead silence except for the sound of her heavy breathing and sniffing. I could feel her breath. Yeah, if this was the beginning.
50 Shades of Bear.
If this was the beginning, suddenly she stopped. I could read it two ways, right? I could read it like, suddenly she stopped. There's dead silence except for the sound of heavy breathing and sniffing. Or I could read it like, suddenly she stopped. There was dead silence except for the sound of her heavy breathing and sniffing. I could feel her breath on the back of my neck and her front claws digging into my lower back where she stood. I could smell the terrible, pungent odor she emitted. For 30 seconds, she stood there crushing me. My chest smashed into the ground, my forehead in the dirt, and then she was gone.
Oh, man. Erotic bear news is a crazy segment.
Erotic bear news.
We're talking about sex and shit.
We're talking about love and bears. We're talking about grizzlies. But yeah, attacked by the same bear twice.
The bear said he was asking for it for what he was wearing.
I mean, I don't like this person. Just the way they wrote this story, it seems like.
I mean, even the way he described, I was half jogging, half hiking. I get attacked by a grizzly. I am sprinting with every last breath of my body to get out of there.
Something's fishy on that story.
Yeah.
Something seems a little contrived, a little planned.
We need to contact this person.
I was going
to
say, maybe we can get them on.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Name is... Well, whatever. We'll find the name later. Todd Orr. Okay, so that's bear news for this week.
Oh,
I don't have my song ready.
Oh no,
I gotta have it ready.
Kill
time, bro. Kill time.
Well, it's raining harder out there. We got the tarp out on the field trying to get this barbecue win today. We're talking about bears and shit. We're talking about bears and shit. It's freaking bear news. Bears in the world doing all sorts of things. Yeah. Yeah, girl.
I think the song's kind of erotic already.
Yeah, the ending kind of works out with that story.
Yeah. So, you had bear locked in the car, bear attack, someone was mauled this morning, Walmart bear. So, until the next batch of bear stories.
I hope this Orr guy doesn't react like the other bear person you contacted. Like, I don't do that stuff.
I know. That was... I mean...
I can play with bears. What the?
Yeah.
People don't contact you?
Backstory on that. Like, we always reach out to people, and one of them, like, I was like, what would be more perfect for a bear news segment than bring on, like, a bear attack
a bear
trainer?
Interview.
Yeah. And the guy was like, no. Like, I don't do that kind of stuff. I'm like, do that kind of stuff? I mean, an interview?
A talk?
Yeah. And then the other bear, remember that we were supposed to do something with that bear orphanage place,
yeah.
And they got all this attention. They're like, we can't handle the amount of interviews anymore. I'm like, what the hell? You know,
I was first in line.
We were supposed to go there. That would have been awesome.
Oh, that would have been sick.
Yeah. I could have got a picture of the bear, interviewed a bear.
Speaking about lines, did you hear about the lines for the new Avatar ride?
No.
People were sitting in line. Two
this
different
is in
Disney
where? Universal?
Rides.
Disney?
Yeah, in Disney, the one in Florida. They had 4-hour lines on the launch of the ride.
And what is it? Like, it better make me, like, more handsome, take a couple years off my life.
Yeah,
like,
I guess they put you in the world and you morph into that handsome person. That's
or,
the only
or
way.
Or blue. Like, kind of blue. Why, is there another Avatar coming out?
It's got to be something. I don't know. Well, I think Disney just owns it and they wanted to make the ride.
I thought there was supposed to be a whole bunch of avatars and like it's taking him super long to do it or something like that.
Well, you know, anytime you get a good movie and they're like sequel, it's doomed from the beginning.
No movie's ever dead. I firmly believe Top Gun 2 is coming out. Mm. Come on. You know it's going to be a bunch of crappy action. Bradley Cooper's going to be in it somehow. Mm-hmm. Like all these like young like Zac Efron.
Get a black guy in there for the hell of it.
There's going to be massive Michael Bay style explosions. There's going to be CGI planes, you know.
I can kind of see it. It's like Cruise is up there. He's like a general or something like that.
No.
I don't do rides anymore. Then something's going to happen. Somebody's going to die. Give me my helmet.
No, here's the scene.
All right.
Kilmer and Cruise are they're flying drones, right? They're in charge of it's real boring. And they're like obviously aged and getting very frustrated with their job. But suddenly there's an attack on the United States drone program.
Oh,
and the drones go down and the only way they can do it is manually, and there's no one trained in the current Air Force. So they're like, we got to suit up one more time, Goose.
That sounds like the plot to that Clint Eastwood movie where he went up in space. I forget Space Cowboys, I think it was called.
What's sad is this actually sounds like
the
drone program goes down. They lose like their.
We need to get Goose.
They have like a young hotshot. This is what Bradley Cooper will probably be like the young hotshot guy. Mm-hmm. He goes up. He dies because he's not trained to go like old school, like fight to fight. They're like, we lost the pilot. What are we going to do? And they're like,
I hope they find him on the beach doing beach volleyball shirtless again.
Yeah. Val Kilmer, especially. He's like disgusting now.
Yeah.
So then they got to call the two of them. They're like, we got one more ride. And then one of them's got to die. Like,
obviously.
Either one of them. Probably Val Kilmer because
Tom Cruise can't come out second fiddle.
No, never.
Never.
And then
he's the last samurai.
I just picture mass explosion. Just something completely that it's not, you know.
But, yeah.
I mean, let it die. It's Top Gun.
I'm trying to think of any sequel that was put out that late where that was decent. The only one I kind of say, and people don't agree with me, I like Clerks 2.
I like Clerks 2, too. It's not to me, they're like completely different movies, but I like Clerks 2. It's funny.
But any other movie that either rush the sequel or you take 10 years to do always comes
out
garbage.
For the most part, yeah. We'll think of sequels later.
Yeah, we'll look it up.
Yeah, but I was going to say something about... Me and my buddy were talking the other day. We're like, you know there's going to be like a new Police Academy with all new like cast. It's going to be like Seth Rogen, and they're all going to be like Police Academy. I wouldn't be surprised if you Google...
Michael Winslow will be their supervisor.
Exactly. Like the old guys will still be there, but they're old. They just make like
cameos. I think he's the only one that's alive.
Is Mahoney still alive?
Oh, Steve Guttenberg? Yeah, he's still around. Yeah. But he kind of left the series, and that's when it went downhill.
That's when, right around number 11, really.
Four.
Right around Police Academy 12.
Citizens on Patrol, he left. He didn't go to assignment Miami.
Anyway, let's talk about sequels in a little bit.
All right.
I just got a message from our guest, which is good. Now, I host trivia every Wednesday, and these guys, they make my playlist every week because I think they're phenomenal and unique. They're a band called Steven Seagals. Okay. We are going across the pond to Finland, Berlo.
Oh.
Well, we're not going, but the internet is tracking us across the pond. Now, Steven Seagal's, they're
we
like
just a, tell everybody we're live here in Finland.
Yeah. They're like a bluegrass, but play banjos and spoons and stuff like that. And they did a cover of Thunderstruck, which is what really got them.
That's awesome.
Like a lot of views. And if you listen to them, they do covers of November Rain and Holy Diver. And my favorite by them, The Trooper by Iron Maiden. The cover they do is ridiculously awesome. But I usually don't play songs before, but I just want to play a little bit of Thunderstruck. This is them live, too. Mm. So we're going to get to talk to them, hopefully, in a few minutes. And this, let me just fast forward. So this is them playing Thunderstruck on like a banjo, spoons, and anvil. So here we go.
An anvil.
Yep. It's so good.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just play the beginning here. Drummer's playing a spoon right now. Two spoons.
Two spoons, man. That's hard to play one.
Ding, 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 ding. I feel like you would play the one spoon.
It's really windy here.
Thunder.
That's the angle. Ding, ding.
The sound of the drums
beating my heart, the thunder of guns tore me apart. You've been
thunderstruck. But my point is, they're awesome. I played this the other night while I was doing trivia, and a guy even came up to me like, who was that? He's like, I need that. I'm like, I told him who was. He comes back like 5 minutes later. I just ordered the vinyl online. I'm like, awesome, man. I'm like, they're worth it. So we're going to get and actually my brother, who works for their record label, knows them. So we'll get into that a little bit, hopefully, with them. And then we'll be calling Finland in a second. All right, so I think they're ready on the other side here. We'll find out in just a second. But without further ado, here is Steve and Seagulls. Quite a name. I love that name. Oh, yeah. My favorite part. All right, now. Oh, yeah.
Steve and...
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, hold on a sec. I'll try to get us on speaker. All right, you there?
We are there. How you guys doing?
All right. We're doing good. Rehearsing here. Midlands of Finland.
All right, so first off, thanks for giving us a few minutes here. I'm Scott Brennan, and this is my cohort here, Michael Berlew.
Evening, Seagulls.
Evening.
Hello, hello.
Can you guys hear us all right? Everything good over there? We hear you pretty good.
Mm. Yep. We got you.
Awesome. So you guys are rehearsing. You guys come as a horror band to describe to people. I was saying to Mike before this, I host a trivia every Wednesday, and I play a soundtrack, and you guys make the soundtrack every single time. And every single time I play you, someone comes up to me like, who the hell was that? You know, like, who is that? And I'm like, oh, you got to go check this band out, Steven Seagulls. They're this, I describe you as bluegrass, but I don't, it's not really completely bluegrass. It's more of like a lot of rock using bluegrass instruments, I would say. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that would be true.
So where did you guys get the idea of doing these kind of covers?
Well,
I think we lost you.
Hear me?
Now we hear you.
Yeah, so it's spooky. Yeah, hi. I don't know. It was out of order originally. It was something different to begin with, but yeah, I don't know. Little by little, I suppose. The original idea actually came from our booking agent. He here in Finland. We were supposed to be only doing a 20-gig tour, but sort of took off.
Now, were you guys doing originals before you started with all this?
Oh, with this band?
Yes.
Not really. The originals have come in on the second album. We have one original there, and we're actually rehearsing some new ones right now. So there might be a few more on the third album.
Interesting. Now, what was the... Did you guys all know each other before you put the band together, or were you put together, referred to each other by different people?
Yeah, we ended up studying in the same city early 2001, 2002, or something like that. So that's how we got to know each other. And well, here's Herman, the banjo player, telling about that.
I feel like you guys just taking turns throwing each other under the bus. Well, here's the bass player. He's going to tell you this. Here's the.
But if I got it right, we used to study in the same city and played a lot of music in different bands. And at some point, we started playing together with this band. So that's it.
Oh,
I'll just set my phone down here and somebody is going to answer the question.
I can't wait for your autobiography to come out. Yeah. We met each other.
Yeah.
We played music. That's it.
Yeah. We had bands. We stopped those bands and we made a band. Now, you guys have like a crazy wide range of different instruments that you play and different people do vocals. When you're planning to do a song, how do you decide what you're going to play, who's going to lead, and everything?
Well, we try a bunch of instruments first. We can have like accordion, mandolin, and banjo, and then we can switch to something else like clarinet. Yeah, accordion and banjo. And that's it.
This is going to be the shortest interview ever. No. All right, well, let me ask you something. So when we think of Finland, right, we think of a lot of like metal and, you know, we think of like Swedish and Finnish, like speed metal and stuff like that. Do you guys have, you're doing a lot of like famous songs from both American and English bands and whatnot. Did you guys have access to all that growing up? Like, obviously, you must be fans of Iron Maiden and who else we got here? AC/DC. And I would assume you're all fans of that, like heavier rock, because a lot of your stuff seems to be from bands like that and Metallica. Did you guys grow up listening to all that stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we grew up at the time when MTV was actually about music, so.
Yes, I remember that long, long ago.
Yeah, yeah. It was a TV channel that included music videos at that point. So I guess that was a big thing in Finland in the early 90s. Plus the radio, plus vinyl, plus CD, and all that stuff. So, yeah, we had access.
So you have access to all this stuff. Now, you guys, the image you guys have is like a jug band kind of thing. One of you guys got overalls on, a squirrel on your head, or whatever it is. Is this how you guys are, like, right now, like, average day, or is that, like, you guys came up with this idea as a band?
Well, kind of with the same thing, I suppose, as with the instruments that just end up trying a bunch of stuff. We can't come on naked.
You could. So we have you to could.
Wear something.
That'd be a great angle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be
band.
A new angle. Yeah, we were young and we needed the money, so we didn't take it.
So you guys put out the cover of Thunderstruck, and it exploded. Okay, I mean, I have people who don't even know who you are, but they've heard the cover of it, or it's popped up on my Facebook feed. People are like, oh my God, you got to check this out. You put that out on YouTube, and did that really, like, was that the taking off point for the band? Because I see now, I look at your page and where you're touring. You're all over Europe. Hopefully you're coming to America one of these days. But you're all over the place. Could you imagine this taking off like this?
No, not really. It was a it was a pretty much as a surprise. The first video we did took off pretty well, and then we did another one which took off okay too, but then the third one was Thunderstruck, so that was a total surprise.
We had a clue that it might take off, but yeah, Thunderstruck is a big song, so
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. Now, you guys are touring all over the place. So do you guys have, is this all you do now, music, or do you have other jobs back at home, or is it just all music now?
And here's Puikkonen.
Yeah, I'm Puikkonen. The drummer. Yeah, this is the only job we have at the moment, and there's no time for any other jobs.
Give me a hint, like give me an idea. You hit it big with this song. You know, everything is going well. Was there a point for you guys as a band where you're like, oh my god, like this is serious? Like, was there a festival or a show you did where, you know, it all just kind of clicked for you?
Well, maybe the first big festival gig in Sweden Rock, which was a total surprise. I mean, we thought that it might be a few hundred or a few thousand people. It was closer to 13,000 or something like that. So
let me ask
maybe
you,
that was one of the first gigs that we thought that this might actually work.
My question is, who came up with the name, and is Steven Seagal like big in Finland, out of curiosity?
He's big everywhere, Mike. He's big everywhere.
He's big here. Yeah.
Nowadays. He's quite big.
Who came up with that name?
Yeah, this is Herman here. It was my girlfriend who came up with the idea, and we had a bunch of good ideas, but that just sounded like us.
Some of the other names in that?
Grains with Cox.
Wait, one more time. Brains with Cox, did you say?
That's my band name. Don't take it.
All right, we're changing the name.
You heard it here on Verbal Shenanigans. Steven Seagal is now Brains with Cox.
I can't pronounce it. Brains with Cox.
I can't wait to draw up some fan art and send it to you guys. Brains with Cox. Like. Maybe one of you could do like a side project. You're more than I'll play bass for you guys. No problem.
For the next album title.
Oh, that's fine.
That's awesome.
We actually could.
Steven Seagal's releases Brains with Cocks, number one on the best-selling list.
Put the podcast emblem on the side.
Yeah, that's fine. Or throw us in like a bale of hay. You know, like just a little credit. But you guys are obviously doing something right. Do you guys obviously have to have some kind of sense of humor. Just what you're doing makes people like kind of laugh and have fun at the same time. Like I said, your videos, one of you I think is wearing a squirrel on your head or something along those lines. Do you guys, now that you're touring, doing all sorts of stuff, how do you guys keep it light? What are you doing on the road other than probably drinking and coming up with weird band names?
We read.
Drink beer,
play NHL.
Oh yeah,
PlayStation.
Nice.
NHL is a huge thing in our band, and it makes us upset sometimes.
Like NHL on like PlayStation or Xbox or?
Yeah, PlayStation. Absolutely.
So, do you guys have like a league amongst the band?
Not really.
Oh.
But a huge rivalry, though.
All right, let me ask you. You guys, obviously, hockey's huge over by where you are. Do you guys have an NHL team you root for?
Well, right now, it would be nice to have the Nashville Predators take the cup because
I agree.
The Finnish goalie has been playing like hell there.
Yeah. Not only that, just watching the games, the crowd reaction is insane in those arenas.
Yeah, I've been reading up about it. They say it's literally a party leading up to the game, and then the party just continues in the stadium.
It's awesome. Never thought in a million years Nashville, Tennessee would be a hockey, have a hockey Haven. Team, one, and having a hockey team with a rabid following.
Yeah. It's kind of like the U.S. teams. They usually need a few Finnish players to make it to the cup. So,
yeah. Who's the best?
Anyways,
who's like your all time who's like the idol Finnish hockey player that everybody's like, wow, like that's the guy.
There was three different ones.
Oh, good. That's like Brains with Cocks.
Yeah.
Good answer.
You don't want us get into a fight here.
Oh, well, we're down with that, too. We're down with that. So
And Jari Kurri was big when he played in Edmonton with Gretzky, so.
Yeah.
Teemu Selänne.
I was going to say Teemu Selänne, right? He was that a big one for you guys? Team of Salami.
Yep.
So you guys don't have a particular team you root for? Also, when it comes to hockey, does Finland have its own leagues that you guys follow, or does everyone pretty much follow the NHL?
Yeah, it's called the SM League.
The S&M League?
Well, not anymore, actually. Now it's called The League. Oh, yes, that's very innovative.
The League, yeah. Very creative name. Mm. Very creative.
Yeah, they had a huge release thing a few years ago that, okay, everything is changing in our pro league. The new name is League.
Too many words before.
They paid some advertisement company to come up with something new. And
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That advertising company ran with that money and never turned back.
Yeah.
So you play a lot of NHL on the bus. Here. Anything else you guys do to kill the time, or you do? And also, how often is your rehearsal schedule?
Not very much. Now we are having a month off from touring, so this time we have two rehearsals during 1 month. So
two per month.
Not too many rehearsals.
Jeez.
At the moment.
Yeah, we're on tour most of the time, so there's no time to rehearse.
Right.
That much.
So you have a new. You said you're working on a new album. What can we expect? Can you give us any? Maybe the songs you're doing, or you said there's going to be a couple originals on there. Can you give your fans a little hint here?
Today we are working on Van Halen and originals.
Ooh. That's awesome. Van Halen. So is it going to be mostly covers again, or like a half and half split?
We don't know yet. Let's see.
It's too early to say that.
What country
let's
gives
say
you...
we do a bunch of originals. Mm-hmm. Let's see they end on the album.
What country has the craziest crowds for concerts, do you think?
Maybe France.
Really?
So far.
Really? I wouldn't really good see for France us. As a rock place.
No, I feel like a lot of wine spilling all over the place. It doesn't strike me as crazy.
Bravo. Bravo.
Yeah. But, yeah, our accordion player Hiltunen has something to say about this.
I just picture you guys all sitting around, like, pushing each other towards the phone or the microphone, whatever you... Just, you go.
No, but, yeah, the countries which serve alcohol are pretty good for us.
I can't even imagine not drinking alcohol while listening to you guys.
Yeah.
you guys sound like you may have had a lot of alcohol last night.
Do we? We'll take that as a compliment.
What's the drink of choice in Finland?
Actually, didn't.
Are you guys I know vodka's big over there, but what's like your guys' drink of choice? Everything.
Beer.
Well, then you got to come to America. It's like the best beer in the world right now. Yeah. We got so many different things going on.
Been there four times now.
Yeah. Well, four tours in the United States so far.
Yeah.
Nice.
Did you? Did you do any dates in Jersey?
There was one, I think. In Jersey?
New Jersey.
No, so we just passed through. Yeah. We didn't play in New Jersey, though.
You played in New York?
Yeah. And, yeah, beer is good there. PBR.
PBR. Come on.
Man.
God. Those Finnish guys will drink anything. So I heard...
No, but we might be picky. We might ask for Bud Light sometimes.
Whoa. Ooh. Well, you
yeah,
guys are
I know.
Big spenders. Big spenders.
Bud Light does not represent the American dream of beer.
No.
Just for the record.
No.
Well, hold on. I just drank Budweiser a week ago, and it said, King of Beers. So somebody is lying.
We're going to have to call Anheuser-Busch, get an interview with them about this.
Yes. So you guys are on Spine Farm Records, and I heard that you know my brother.
Yep. We've met him, I think, three times.
I'm sorry.
But who are you? Who am I talking?
You are talking to brother. Scott Brennan, Tim Brennan's brother.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Got it right, yeah.
I think we met him in New York a couple of times, and was he in Austin in South by Southwest too?
Yeah. No? He's actually the one that I think turned me on to you guys. He's like, you got to check these guys out. And I was like, okay, Tim, because you tell me to check out every band ever. But then I was like, wow, these guys are definitely fun. And I was like, I got to get in contact with these guys.
Check out this band. They like hockey and PBRs.
They like hockey, PBR, and not answering questions.
We should put that on our webpage. Steven Seagal. We like PBR hockey and we do not answer questions.
So now you gave him an album title.
I gave you a band name, an album title, a slogan.
Yeah.
Well, we already sent you the money you asked for, man. So.
Oh. Well, it didn't arrive. Just like every other person that says they're sending me money.
That
doesn't
Finnish
arrive.
Mail service just never gets here on time.
Yeah. So you when you toured the United States, was it a good time? Were you guys well received? Were you the headliners on your tour, or was it a festival?
Yes and yes.
Thank you.
If you guys say yes or yep one tours. More time.
Yes, and partly. Yeah, the tours we've been headlining and we've played. I think two smaller festivals or something like that, but mainly like live venues for a few hundred people.
Let me ask you, when you do covers, do you generally decide which cover you want to do, or do you have to like go through all the business people and the bands that you cover in order to get permission and then decide on taking it or not?
We just decide first and let the record label take care of the rest, usually.
Oh, that's good. That's like so I wanted to ask you guys are touring all over, you're doing music for a living. Do you guys all have families, or most of you like single guys?
Families, yeah.
Now do you find it hard leaving the family because all over the world, or is it an understood thing that this is what you got to do to put bread on the table or PBR on the table?
Yes and yes.
It's sometimes hard.
I hate Steven Seagal. <Of course. laughs> No,
it might get hard sometimes.
Wow.
But I mean, it's pretty hard to play music for a living if you don't want to travel because we don't have many big cities in Finland, so you have to be everywhere every night.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, in Finland, are you guys like, does everyone recognize, are you big over there, or are you bigger, like, say, over here or in the rest of Europe? Like, in Finland, are you guys a big thing over there?
Well, I just heard that Hiltunen, our accordion player, just got asked for an autograph in his hometown. That was the first time, I suppose, for any of us.
Yeah.
Great moments in Finnish history.
And that's a damn small town. It's about 5,000 people.
Wow.
It's getting bigger all the time. We've been on TV.
On national TV. Yeah. It goes on little by little everywhere. I suppose the best countries for us might be in the mid-Europe, yeah, France and Germany. We've had some really good shows in the U.S. too, so.
Yeah, now, obviously you guys are multilingual, right? You speak English, you speak, I'm guessing, Finnish and whatnot. What made you, did you do the covers on purpose in English, or like just because they were originally sung in English, like is it like more global effort when you sing in English that everyone's going to recognize the songs? And do you have songs that are just in like Finnish?
Not at the moment. I'd say we've got one in German and one in French. Probably going to be on the next album.
Now, do you guys find any kind of
the original language is pretty much what we do.
Right. Do you guys find any kind of language barriers, like when you do come to the United States, or when you do these big, massive interviews with, you know, podcasts from around the world? And do you find any kind of language barriers, or do you find as you're touring more and more, your English probably even gets better?
Well, sometimes accents could be like tricky, but like you guys sound pretty clear to me. So.
I thought you sound pretty cute.
Vovo Shenanigans, be careful now. We're pretty cute to the finish.
Finland likes us.
Yeah, but don't go to Scotland.
Don't go to Scotland. Why is that?
That's bad.
I mean, it's a good place, but the language is pretty tough.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I Scotland and Ireland, like, sometimes, when that accent's real thick, it's tough to understand. But let me ask you guys, you're doing this for a living now. We've talked to several musicians on this show before. In this day and age, record sales really aren't what, they used to be, where you could support yourself just selling records, where everything now is streamed and everything is, downloaded and whatnot. And touring really seems to be the only way that bands make money. Do you guys find yourself in that same situation, that touring is really the only way you are able to put bread on the table?
Yeah, I guess it's never been any other way for us because, we don't get any royalties from writing songs so far, at least. So it's not like record sales are going to bring anything to the table for us. So, right. Although, yeah, well, it's possible, but the records would have to sell, like, I don't know, loads.
Yeah. And, like, back in the day, a lot of bands were, upset about streaming services. But I'd imagine that a band like you guys, the internet and being able to access you is what really has gotten you kind of worldwide.
Yeah, it's I don't know, about, let's say, 20 years ago, this wouldn't have probably happened for us at all.
It's true, yeah. I mean, it's definitely like that Thunderstruck video, which, like I said, I think is the first time a lot of people heard you, would never be in everybody's phones and laptops and iPads. So definitely it's cool to hear the other side of it too, and how much it can help bands like you guys and smaller bands and bands just getting off the ground.
It's true. It's true. It's kind of cool that it's so cheap to produce decent quality videos and just post them up somewhere. It's not like you need a record label or anything to get your stuff out.
Have you guys ever got feedback from like the original band that loved your cover?
Oh yeah. Offspring.
Yeah.
Released our video on their Facebook page.
That's yeah, you did Self-Esteem, right?
Yeah. Yep. That's it.
Now you did
and then the Finnish band Nightwish that we covered, I think they're pretty okay with it too.
Well, that leads me to one more question here. Like, you've done a ton of different covers. You recently did Sabotage by the Beastie Boys, which I thought was, that's a tough one to do. Is there any what was the toughest cover that you guys, to change it over into your style and to take something, like Sabotage is such the complete opposite of bluegrass or whatever you guys want to call it, or country. But what was the hardest song?
Well, that was hard.
Yeah,
that was hard. It was a request.
Yeah, that was on that AB Club, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So were you stuck with that song, or is that the one you guys chose?
Well, they sort of told us to do that one.
So would you think that's the one that was the hardest one for you guys to cover?
Yes, well, and yes.
The hardest.
And if something gets really hard to do, we usually just don't do that because they don't sound so good after a struggle. So
yeah, it has to come out naturally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want you guys to cover Cardigan's Love Fool. I think that'd be an awesome bluegrass song. Mm-hmm. Remember that
That's
song?
Weird.
I know. But I think it would be really well done in a bluegrass style. And I could see you guys being like, love me, say that you love me. Like, I could see it.
That's on that one.
All right, well, throw that idea on the next album, and then just take me on tour with you. I'll open up with you. I'll do comedy before you guys open up.
All right. Do you have a driver's license?
I do. I'll drive you guys around.
Are you there?
That's all you need to tour with Steven Seagal is a driver's license.
A driver's license and shitty American beer, and I'm your opening act. Well, plus I know Tim, so maybe that'll help me a little bit.
Oh, yeah. You got a little in there.
Yeah, I got an in. See, this is working. So
just remember in interviews, yes and yes.
So Cardigans, okay. What was it?
Brains and Cocks.
Brains with Cocks.
Brains with Cocks, sorry. Right.
And I can't remember the other thing. Oh, the slogan.
Slogan.
Yeah, cheap beer hockey and we don't answer questions.
Hockey and we don't answer questions. Yeah.
Yeah, the logo for Brains with Ducks would be cool.
It could be cool. It could.
Yeah.
It could go the other way. Guys, you guys have been awesome. I don't want to take up all your time. Good luck with coming up with this next album. And I hope it's the greatest success as the other stuff's been. And let me know. I'll definitely keep an eye on when you guys are back in America. I would love to come out and meet you guys and see you and whatnot.
Yeah.
And see you do Love Fool for me, dedicated to me.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. We'll do that.
Thank you guys so much. And have fun. I don't know if you guys are still rehearsing, but I know you guys were rehearsing today. If not, have a beer and enjoy the hockey playoffs.
Yep, we'll do.
Take care, guys.
Take care, guys. Thank you.
Okay, cheers. Yeah, thank you.
All right, Steven Seagals. I love that.
Yeah.
They just like when you watch the videos or hear the music, they just make you like happy. Like, I don't know. They're fun.
It's just a coolness of changing, you know, different kinds of genres and listening to it and still working.
They're fun. Like, I think they'd be a lot of fun when they come to the United States if we went and checked them out. Like, had a bunch of
beers. Can you imagine just pulling up there with a six-pack of PBRs and like, ho,
I love that. I was like, so Timo Solani, he was good for you, right? And I'm like, what kind of question was that? Like,
what you guys like those people that come from where you are and do stuff, right?
Psycho Koivu, he was a big one. He was on the Canadians forever, teaming in too. But anyway, so that was Steven Seagal's, one of my favorite new little, I don't even know what to call them. Like, they're a band, of course, but
cover band, I guess, would be the best.
I love
answer.
Their stuff, man. It's fun. Their cover of Holy Diver is awesome too. It's real slow and it's like,
I gotta check that out. Yeah. I haven't heard that one.
Put it on a little bit.
Yeah.
But what do you got, Berlu?
Well,
we're also talking about sequels. We can continue that conversation too.
Well, I had something different, but
go ahead.
All right, so we could, but
not allowed.
I have nothing.
Not allowed.
So you like sequels? But today, Memorial Day, it seems like, I mean, this is a holiday that we should be respected. Everybody
should be,
you know, thinking about all the both the military people and the veterans and so forth. But it seems like we got a ton of other stupid holidays. It seems like every other day is a holiday.
It does. Well, I was just having this conversation with somebody the other day. It's like National Pirate Day and Puppy Day and all this other stuff. So, all right. So, I think I know where we're going here.
Yeah. So I got some holidays throughout the world. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a holiday and then I'm going to let you choose to either celebrate that holiday or go to a new holiday, if you will.
Okay.
All right.
So wait. So explain more time. I have to.
Basically, I'm going to give you a holiday to start off with and then I'm going to give you a new one. And you got to basically say, I'm going to celebrate this or that.
Okay. I'm in.
All right. So we're going to start with. Oh, I got a little theme song going there.
All right.
I'm going to start with Lopberry Monkey Buffet Day.
Lopberry?
Lopberry. What? Lopburi. It's celebrated in the last weekend of November in Thailand. And what they do is, for all the monkeys around the village are known to be gluttons, harassing visitors, and so forth. So they have a holiday where the villagers decide the best way to deal with them is to embrace them. And every year they lay out a huge buffet of fruits and vegetables for them to snack on.
Okay, so that's the original holiday.
Yeah.
And now this is a new one coming at me?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you want to celebrate that or Tinku Punch Your Neighbor Festival?
Okay, what's Tinku?
Well, that's an origin in pre-Hispanic times whereby the earth goddess Pachamama demanded blood to ensure a good harvest. So the people of this Bolivian village of Tinku took this quite literally and decided to prove her with as much as she needed. Hence, they punch their neighbors.
So both of these are real things.
These are real holidays.
All right. I am definitely celebrating number two. Okay?
Tinku
punch your neighbor. Okay. And there's two reasons. Okay. Monkeys. I don't like monkeys.
No?
Okay. I do not like monkeys. I think they're too smart and they're too strong. and they freak me out a little bit.
So you're the one that goes into Planet of the Apes saying, this could happen.
Yeah, I'm the guy, like, warning people before, like, through the movie, like, we better be careful. And they're like, no.
Guys.
I'm like, guys, no, don't.
This is a documentary waiting to happen.
Yeah, I'm like the quirky guy in the background, like, real nervous and, like, has an emergency plan that no one pays attention to.
You're the guy, they're going to give it some shot and to make it smart, like, Tim, I don't know.
No, we're playing God here, Ralph. We're playing God. I don't like monkeys. I think they're too smart. I think they're us, but, like, just they're getting closer to us. They're strong enough to rip our arms off and rip our faces off. Remember that woman who had the monkey?
Who worked at my former company.
They are so powerful. Really?
Yeah. I thought I told him on the podcast. Yeah, that woman, she worked. I didn't work with her. She worked on one of the help desks in my former job, and I worked with a guy who ended up in IT.
Wow.
So when, like, the story happened, I, you know, joking around, she was monkeying around, whatever. He's like, dude, she reported to me.
And that's, it was serious. Nuts.
He said how she was a sweet woman. She would come in and give people cookies, and she
give
talked
her monkey
about,
wine.
Nah.
No, that's apparently what they said. They were giving the monkey, like, alcohol and stuff.
Yeah, but she was talking about, yeah, moving up to Connecticut with a friend. We're going to start a business, blah, blah, blah. And then it happened.
Wow.
Small world.
See? Don't like monkeys.
Yeah.
And two, punching a neighbor. Now, my neighbors here in this place, particular place, are great. But the neighbor I had in my old house, I don't know if I told this story. One time I was putting a fence into my house. Remember the fence on my old house?
Mm.
And the neighbor was always weird. He was always at home. His wife would be doing all the yard work, like the mowing the lawn, and he was always home, and I put the fence in. He's like, oh, who are you using? I'm like, blah, 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 whatever business it was. He's like, oh, I had a bad experience with them. I'm like, oh, okay, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Day of the fence comes. The guy doing the fence calls me. He's like, hey, did you give me the right blueprints for the thing? We're going to have to take the fence out because it's a little bit on your neighbor's property. I'm like, what? I'm like, no. Like, yes, this is my yard. And turns out the guy was just did not like the company, so he's like, I was playing a prank on them. Sorry. I'm like, dude. This is my property. I could build a freaking 30-foot-high fence. So, yes, I would like to punch my neighbor on that day.
All right.
So I'm celebrating punching. In a long roundabout conversation, Punch Your Neighbor Day.
All right. So we got Punch Your Neighbor Day. Do you prefer that or Ansar Aguna or Goose Day? Ansar Aguna or Goose Day can be traced back nearly 350 years and involves a group of young Spaniards trying to decapitate a dead goose hanging from a rope in the middle of the town's harbor.
So I choose this one or Punch Your Neighbor Day.
Yes.
Punch Your Neighbor Day. That sounds mean, the goose thing.
Well, it's a dead goose.
I don't want to hang a dead animal and take its head off.
No?
No, that sounds like what you do for, like, while you're looking
you
for a job.
Over?
I feel like this is what happens when you're looking for jobs. You got nothing to do. Like, look at my collection.
Scott, the goose is hung up. You know what's going to happen.
Scott, please. Come, please. But,
I don't want to
100% Punch Your Neighbor Day.
Okay.
I'm not messing with dead animals. It's mean.
All right. Punch Your Neighbor Day or Up Heli Ah. Up Heli Ah is a Scottish holiday that descends from a Viking celebration depicting the rebirth of the sun. The fiery holiday is celebrated with a variety of fire festivals that start with a torch procession of hundreds of people dressed in themed costumes and end with the throwing of the fires into a Viking ship replica. This is annually held in the middle of winter to mark the end of the Yule season.
All right. I'm going to go with this one. I don't even remember the name of it. I'm just going to call it the Scottish Fire Festival.
Up Heli
Ah. Yeah. Like I said, the Scottish Fire Festival. Celebrating a holiday, you want to be happy. And punching a neighbor is not really a happy thing.
Mm-hmm.
So throwing fire at a Viking ship sounds pretty damn cool.
That's the way you wanted to go.
I imagine there's great amounts of alcohol involved. And
there
it's
has
a good
to
time.
Be.
And that's how I would like to go in the Viking burial.
Yeah.
That would become a tree. So I'm on board with this one.
What if I throw a flame onto your tree?
Burn me down? I feel like this
somewhat
is a little,
Viking.
I feel like it's a little disrespectful to me. I spent all those years growing, and you just burned me down.
I got you, Scott.
I've been waiting 30 years for this moment.
Who's the host now?
Also, why am I dead 30 years before you? That's scary.
You know, I went in with Zoltan Istvan. I'm like 150 years old, cyborg. Half robot. Yeah, so.
That's so close. Yeah. Hold on. Let me quiet this down.
Yeah.
Obi! Hey!
All right. So, are you going to celebrate Upheli'a or Hadaka Matsuri?
He pitched for the Mets from 2001.
Hadaka Matsuri or the Naked Man Festival in Japan is celebrated the third Saturday of February during one of the coldest nights of the year. Thousands of men all around Japan stripped down to loincloths or less to test their manhood and bravery in order to secure luck throughout the year. Now, Scott, you have some bad luck at times, so maybe this festival will work out for you.
I'm not down with the Naked Man Festival, dude.
Well, they're Japanese men, so you'll clearly tower over them.
Great. So just because I tower over them, I'm surrounded by a bunch of naked men. Nah.
But you'll get good luck.
No, I don't.
It's like a four-leaf clover, yeah. Only with dongs.
Nah, I'll pass on the dongs. As much as I...
Verbal shenanigans. We'll pass on the dongs. We just so many...
passing on the dongs.
All right.
We're still going with the Scottish lighting things on fire.
All right. So we have Upheli'a, or this might get interesting, Straw Bear Day. As in B-E-A-R.
Straw Bear.
Straw
Like Daryl Strawberry.
I'll give you... Wow.
That doesn't really look like a bear, but okay.
The English festival, held every January 7th after Plow Monday, as we all know.
Oh, I love Plow Monday, right after Naked Man Day.
It's weird how those festivals, you know, just come together.
It's weird how it's a whole week that kind of aligns itself. All right.
Another tradition festival to start the English agricultural year. During this time, a man or a boy is completely covered in straw and led to houses in the area to dance in exchange for food, beer, or money. Though it was an ancient custom, it was revived in 1980. So, you get dressed up in straw, and you get beer.
Yeah.
And you get to dance. I know you like to dance.
I do like to dance.
And you get some free money. I mean, the school year's ending soon.
I don't like the idea of having to go door-to-door performing for people. This reminds me of, like, selling Boy Scout cookies, like Girl Scout cookies. I'm not really into that. Mm. And the fact that they dress a bunch of boys up in straw, I don't want to be like
man or a boy.
Well, I don't want to be the old man who's dressed in straw and surrounded by, like, 8-year-old
kids. Dude, you're supposed to give that up when you're, like, 30. What the hell,
I haven't
Scott?
Done the Straw Bear Festival since I was 10. So I'm still sticking with Scottish Fire Ella, Festival.
Okay. Let me look at some of these. How about the Night of Radishes, Scott?
Oh, sounds exhilarating.
Yeah, the Night of Radishes is a radish carving contest held annually.
I like carving
in
things.
Oaxaca, Oaxaca, Mexico, on December 23rd, where participants complete to carve radishes into figures depicting the birth of Jesus Christ or elaborate historical scenes.
You know, it had me a little intrigued. Like, I thought it was like an artistic kind of thing, any theme I want. But I ain't carving Jesus radishes. That's just rebel shenanigans. I ain't carving Jesus radishes. And two, I don't like radishes that much.
How the hell are we going to pick the name for this episode? There's too many.
Steven Siegel. Nope. Scottish Fire
Still,
Festival.
Hello, yeah. Nope. How about Bean Throwing Day, Scott? Bean Throwing Day or... Setsubun in Japan is a holiday that occurs on the first day of spring according to their lunar calendar, which is usually around February 2nd or 3rd. This celebrates involving throwing beans around homes, shrines, and temples to scare away evil spirits.
Now, I like the idea of flinging beans around, like, a church or a temple, because, like, I spent so many years going to church and, like, wanting to, like...
The Christians have a great idea here, and they don't use it.
Yeah, like, I want to, like, I've always wanted to, like, knock over some of the stuff and, like, you know, it's too proper, so I like the idea of kind of, like, goofing around a little bit in a...
I like somebody brings up a psalm, I'm like, woo, Jesus, and just start chucking beans at them.
Yeah, like, I like that, but I still don't find that as cool as lighting a ship and getting wasted and playing with fire.
Hmm, true, true. Look here.
Passing on the bean festival.
All right, one more, Scott. All right. So it's between Ah Hell Yeah and the Nanana Ice Classic. Now, this one kind of intrigues me, which I like. The Nanana Ice Classic is a spring ice melting lottery in Nanana, Alaska, which is a contest that guesses the exact time and day that the winter ice will crack on the Tanana River and make way for springtime.
Tanana, Tanana, she wore diamonds on the soles of her shoes.
No. I was thinking about Frank Tanana.
Who's Frank Tanana?
He was a former pitcher. I remember he played for the Mets for a while, or was it Tanaka? He had like a 59-mile-an-hour curveball. We're going to look that up. But okay, Here's what happens. A giant wood tripod is set on the ice, and a clock is tied to the shore. When the ice melts, it sinks the tripod, which pulls the rope tied to the clock. This stops the clock, and a winner is then declared. The largest reward was given to a single ticket holder in 2008, amounting to $303,895.
I could use that.
I kind of like it. It's like a holiday, but you're still gambling.
It's gambling. I was going to say, it's gambling. I like the contest idea. Now, do millions of people partake in this? Or is it, like, what are my odds?
I mean, I don't think it's millions, considering the prize was $303,000.
Yeah. Do I throw money in?
I mean, they don't have the details. And we're going to get somebody from Alaska on to explain.
Don't have much money to put into the pot. So... Yeah. I'm intrigued, but I'm going to stick with the Scottish Fire Festival.
All right, what so the official holiday of Scott Brennan is Up Hella Ah.
That's fine. I would like to go there. Well, I've always wanted to go down with Scotland and Ireland, and maybe like.
I mean, I'll even show you a picture.
Oh yeah.
I mean, that is
badass. Yeah. We got to put that on the Instagram. We'll
yeah, that's just like a Viking ship, and there's a bunch of people with torches around it. I mean, it looks like a rock video.
I'm in. I'm down the set. I might celebrate it here. I might start it on the lake back here. Just light my kayak on fire. I'd be like, what the hell are you doing? Celebrate it, Talalia!
Apella, yeah.
Apella! He's drunk. But, yeah.
At least we found one cool holiday.
Yeah. We've done a lot of, like, holidays and weird job things, and we seem to keep finding more and more weird things out there.
I found out on my birthday is Hagfish Day.
Good old Hagfish Day.
Observe
Hagfish
the Burlew. Third Wednesday of October.
Good old Hagfish Burlew. That's what they used to call you in middle school. But I think we're good, man.
It was
man.
Either the Burls or Hagfish, you know?
I'd rather call you Hagfish.
Aww.
Burlew, let's get the hell out of here.
All right. Sounds good.
Let's go enjoy Memorial Day. Mm-hmm. Anything to promote?
I'll promote Brook Hollow Winery up in Columbus, New Jersey. Many of the Verbal Shenanigans comedy shows are up there. They have events pretty much every Friday night. They have like a $5 meal deal with the wine, great atmosphere. They're going to be in their new tasting room sometime in July this year. It's beautiful scenery up there. Look them up, brookhollowwinery.com.
All right, and I'll promote, since I'm going to put this up probably tonight, I'll promote June 4th, which is a week from now, Sunday at Table 42. We are back again with headliner Mark Riccadonna, Aaron McGuire, and Mike Ciccoli. Another good comedy show, $35 for a meal and the show. So it's a good Sunday night out. Usually the show is sold out, so try to call early if you're interested. But other than that, well, thanks, Steven Seagulls. It's pretty cool that we now talk to someone in Finland and England and Nova Scotia and
New Zealand, wherever
the island people are. You know, pretty cool. Bringing a lot of cool stuff going on. We got a big episode today, and we got a big episode coming for you next week. So
look forward to that.
Stay tuned, and let's get the hell out of here.
Let's do it.
Life is funny, people. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back. Yes. Yep.
Yes and yes.
Hockey.
But I'll take yours too. You fire your musket, but I run you through. So when you're waiting for the next attack. You better stand, there's no turning back. The bugle sounds, the charge begins. But on this battlefield, no one wins. This metal fucker smoking horses' breath.